where the rubber hits the road. As I stood at the door this morning before church and saw all those cars coming into the car park, I realised that none of them was actually just floating on air. The tyres were actually hitting the road and the car park. And that's really what James says. Don't go on about having faith in God if the rubber isn't hitting the road, if in fact your deeds are not measuring up. So let's have a look today at what the scriptures say. And I trust that you've all got your... I know there's only one person in the basket coming over the wall. That's all Rahab could fit in at a time. So that was the best illustration we could find. So faith without works. On your little leaflet today, the key verse really for the book of James and certainly for this section of scripture is, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. And this summarises, as I've said, the book of James. Today we're going to look in three sort of sections. Anyone and everyone, that's us. How do we demonstrate that? How did Abraham demonstrate it? How did Rahab demonstrate it? And I emphasise again, as what Dion has said, that faith without action is not Christian faith. We need to have action. So, starting with anyone or everyone. Lacking food and clothing. So what do we have? We have here, what does it profit if someone says he has faith but not works? If a brother or sister is ill-clad or lacking in clothing or daily food, and you say, well, off you go. Go off in peace. Keep yourself warm and have a good feed without giving anything. How mean is that? We see the need and we see the response. How cruel and how mean. Now, just before church, someone came to the door and he said, he said, I've got to come to an AA meeting, Alcoholics Anonymous. You have one here on a Tuesday night and a Thursday night? And I said, yes, we do. And I thought, how dreadful if I'd have said, well, actually, we do have a meeting, but you're not welcome. Wouldn't that have been horrible? And in a way, this is what James is saying. If we've got the food or we've got the clothing and one of our friends or someone we know comes and says, have you got some tucker or have you got some clothes for me? And we say, well, actually, yeah, I can't really be bothered with this person. Go and fill yourself up or find food somewhere else. This is what's being said here. And I've put down some extra bits that aren't in the Bible. The same with friendship, the same with care of people, the same with practical help. If we see a need and we don't respond, if we are able, how cruel is that? See, if we say, oh, I've got faith, and there are lots of people who, oh, I've got faith in Corinthians, but no, they don't express it lovingly. Well, what good? What good can I say is that? I've got there that in the Victorian era, when everyone was so prim and proper, they wouldn't serve food to orphans or to the poor on a Sunday, because that was the Lord's Day and you didn't work. What a loving action that is, to let kids go hungry or the poor to not get food on a Sunday, because those at church kept the Lord's Day. Friends, how ridiculous, but that's exactly what happened. How glad I am that we have groups now like Compassion, World Vision, Westcare, Salvation Army, who are often the practical arm, the helping arm of the Christian church. Where do we fit in? Well, maybe some of these facts and figures could be helpful. You see, if we look up on Mr. Google, we find that the average Australian buys 56 items of clothing a year. Is that a bit extravagant when some people haven't got clothes or some people are struggling? We're the highest consumer of textiles apart from the US, and we send 23 kilograms per person to landfill each year, 200,000 kilograms or tons of clothing a year. That's the clothing waste in Australia. Now, I'm not sure, I'm not going to ask you to put up your hand if you've bought 56 items of clothing this year. But some of you are shaking your head and saying, not even in my lifetime. But yes, and then look at the food, and we know the food. The loss to the Australian economy, $36.6 billion. I'm not sure how they worked that out, but anyhow, that's what they've worked out. 7.6 million tonnes of food wasted, which is 312 kilograms a person. The biggest waste is bread. That's the biggest waste in Australia, the bread. But when we see fruit on trees, oh, can't be picked because we haven't got a market for it. And then we zoom to the other side of the world and we see people absolutely starving because they can't get food or they're being bombed to death. And we think, oh, don't you just wish sometimes that this could be swapped over here and then that could be swapped over there and things could be moved around. But again, we are very grateful for groups like OzHarvest, Second Bite and even Beck's Bakery who supply us and we're able to hand on food. So when we read this and we say, well, you know, I do what I can, and that's wonderful, but I just want to say, let's be careful, and let's not be over-consumers if God has given us the challenge to look after the resources of the world, because we're part of the Australian picture. We mightn't be individually, but in the Australian picture, that's where it comes. Now, faith by itself is dead, but here we go on. And we read there in verse 19, we believe, you believe, that God is one. You do well, even the demons believe and shudder. Friends, I've put up a couple of quotes there that say, the demons cried out in verse 8. 28 of Matthew 8. The demons cried out, what have you to do with us, O Son of God? Have you come here to torment us before time? And then in Mark, what happens there? Well, there is a cry as well. A man with an unclean spirit cries out, what have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? What's the writer of James saying? The writer of James is saying, if we believe in God, well, we're as good as a demon. That's really what he's saying. Because the demons believe. The demons believe and cry out. But I've put up there Hebrews. We stand in awe of God, not in fear. We stand in awe with confidence and we receive the grace of God. Friends, James is very practical. This is what he's saying all the time. Believe and do. Believe and do. The two have to go together. It's not an either or. It's not a tick the box that applies to you. It's not an either or. It's both go together. Because then he goes and says, foolish person, man or woman, yes, works apart from faith, or faith apart from works, is barren. So let's just think carefully and let's make sure, and I'm sure, that we don't have to have a kindness day. Isn't there a day for everything now? A kindness day. Learn how to be kind. Don't we teach our children and our grandchildren how to be kind? Don't we teach them how to care for other people? So friends, let's make sure that we've got it together, because sometimes as we get older we can get a bit selfish. We can make things depend upon me. It's all about me. Well, we're going to look now at two interesting characters. Abraham, first of all. Now, when God made the promises to Abraham, there weren't any children. He didn't have any children, and it seemed as if he wasn't going to have, or he and Sarah weren't going to have children. So the promise of grains of sand, this will be your descendants, or stars in the sky, this will be your descendants. Abraham must have thought, this is mad. This is mad. How on earth can this happen? Anyhow, he believed, and 30 years later, there's the sacrifice of Isaac. 30 years. Has God made a promise to you or done something incredible, but then later on, a long way down the track, has asked something of you? So it was all right for Abraham to say, well, God, looks impossible, but I believe. Hello, all of a sudden, here's Isaac, although there was Ishmael came in as well, but there was Isaac. How incredible. But then God says down the track, sacrifice your son. Oh, hello. Faith was all right, and the son came, and that was good. However, God, what are you doing now? You're asking me to sacrifice. I just want to just put in there that those of you who know a bit of the Bible know that in between there's been a few lies told by Abraham. He wasn't so saintly, although he was called the father of faith, but there were a couple of lies that he slipped in there in the way of just helping God. Yes, have you done something just a bit shady to help God along? He often needs our help, of course. Well, this is what happens here with Abraham. What happens? He goes to sacrifice Isaac. Yes, God, I will do it. And we find, as we read on, that the scripture was fulfilled with Abraham in verse 23. A man is justified by works and not by faith. And in the same way, that's what happened with Abraham. And the wonderful thing is that he is then called a friend of God. Where does this come? Well, I think what it says to us, like all those thousands of years ago, so what happened with Abraham? Well, what it's saying, what I think it's saying to us about putting our faith into action is, am I prepared to give up my most valued possession for God? So Isaac was that most treasured son, the most valued possession that Abraham had. And yet Abraham was prepared to say, God, because I believe in you, I will put my faith into action. So that's the challenge to us. I'm sure we're not going to be asked to sacrifice anyone, but are we prepared to give up the most precious thing to put our faith into action? The next character that we meet is an interesting woman. This is Rahab. And she steps into the picture. So she's a prostitute. So she's not saved by her good character, and I'm not sure what sort of a person she was. In one of the commentaries I read, it said she was one of the four most beautiful women in the world at her time. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure whether as a prostitute she wore fishnet stockings or whether she was the life of the party. But who knows? We have pictures, don't we, of what a prostitute is. But here she is. Not only is she a prostitute, she is a woman. And not only is she a woman, but she is a Canaanite. The Canaanites were very into child sacrifice. To appease gods, they sacrificed children. And at their temple, they had virgins as prostitutes in the temple. So that's what they thought of kids, that's what they thought of women. And this is Rahab. Now, she's an incredible character, really. She's the bottom, if you like, of the social ladder. So why do we have her in this particular situation? It's interesting, isn't it? And not only do we have her, but we're told about her works. We know the story of Rahab. If not, duck home and read Joshua 2 after lunch. But what happens is she's there. She's got her dwelling is in the walls of Jericho. Two spies are sent over to see whether, in fact, this is a good place to come into the promised land. The spies come in, but the Canaanites hear about this and they say, how come these blokes are in this land spying out the land? So in come a few men to spy out what the spies are doing. So the Canaanites come in, a couple of Canaanites or a few come in to check what these two spies are doing. She hears about this, and so instead of handing them over, she hides them upstairs under some flax. So when the Canaanites come and say, Rahab, have you seen men in here from Israel? Oh, no, she said. Oh, I think actually, before the doors were shut of the town, they shot through, and I think they went down that way. Oh, righto, they said, you better go quickly, because otherwise you'll miss them. It'll be too dark. So off they go, and in the meantime, the spies, of course, are up on the roof. And then, when it's safe, she puts them over the wall and lets them go. Now, here we've got another liar. Not only have we got Abraham telling a lie, but we've got Rahab telling a lie. And yet, Rahab, at the bottom there, is in the family tree of Jesus in Matthew, and she's in the people of faith in Hebrews 11. Interesting character, isn't it? That here's this woman, bottom of the social ladder, telling a lie, and yet she's included in the genealogy of Jesus and in the people of faith. Well, I have a couple of statements there. She could have been held for treason because she was a Canaanite, she went against those who came in and said, where are the spies? She should have handed them over and said, they're spying against us because they're going to take over the country. And that would have been fine. She didn't. And if she'd been found out, that was the end of her. Those Canaanites, they didn't worry about that and the fact she was a woman. However, if you read Joshua 2, you will realise that she had an awakening, an awareness or something of the God of heaven and earth. And she said, we have all heard about what has happened with your God. We are fearful. We, the people of Jericho, are scared because we know what God has been doing through the Israelites. We know that God is going to move. And we are well aware, and I am well aware, says Rahab, that these two spies who have come in have come to look around the land and particularly around Jericho as to what's going to happen. And my trust, basically, is in the God of heaven and of earth. And she puts her faith in God into action with her life, or the threat on her life. She's prepared to say, if they find out, I'll be dead, but I'm more prepared to trust in the living God and to follow him. And of course, if you read on a bit, you know, the walls of Jericho all came tumbling down, but she was clever enough and smart enough to get those spies out, and she had the red ribbon hanging down, which continues to symbolise hanky-pank. Yes, so here we've got it. James chapter 2. In the same way was not even Rahab the prostitute considered righteous for what she did when she gave lodging to the spies. Here is her faith in action with the threat of her life. So my question or comment here is, are we prepared under threat of life to put our faith into action? Now, it hasn't come to that, but today it's interesting that it's the prayer day for the persecuted church. And many of our brothers and sisters around the world are being tortured, persecuted, maybe have been killed because of their faith. And that's what could have happened to this woman if she'd been found out. But we know the rest of the story, that actually when the walls of Jericho fell down, she and her family were saved. So what do we learn from this? Well, we learn that Abraham could have been a murderer if he'd gone ahead with his son, but he didn't have to. That Rahab could have been killed for treason, but she wasn't. And where do we stand in relation to those things? Friends, we are justified by faith. God would. That's our faith. And we are justified by works. People would. People see our faith in action. God sees the faith of our heart and the commitment. So, did he just ignore the lies of Abraham and of Rahab? Well, I don't know what he did with them. But obviously, Abraham's faith, willingness to sacrifice the son, Rahab's willingness to go under threat of her life, were expressions of their faith. Now, I'm not sure what the challenges are for us. Are we prepared to give up our most precious possession for our faith? Are we prepared to put our life on the line for our faith? You see, where does the rubber really hit the road? It's fine sitting here, isn't it? Fine sitting here. But where do we balance this up? Are we prepared to actually step out and express our faith to other people? Could I share about Jesus? But isn't he the most precious possession we have? Couldn't we express that in some way? Friends, I've got a quote there that's taken from The Message. Christian churches are not, as a rule, model communities of good behaviour, except here. Models of good behaviour. They are rather places where human misbehaviour is brought out in the open, faced and dealt with. How wonderful. Because we all fail, but the challenge is, from James, to put our faith into action. Let us pray together. Our Lord and our God, we see particularly in these two Old Testament characters weakness, we see failure, and yet we see incredible expressions of faith in action. The willingness of Abraham to give his son, the willingness of Rahab possibly to give her life, And in some ways, we probably feel fairly weak. But we ask that we would be people who, in the ways that are possible to us, bring together our faith and our action so that you may see the attitude of our heart and the world around about will see the expression of our love for you. Father, this week, may we be people who not only talk about faith, because even the demons understand who Jesus is, but may we be people who express that faith in ways that are understandable to others. We pray through Jesus. Amen.